I want to thank everybody that has participated in our service this morning. Olivia had to slip out, I think, to get to their services, but I think I can speak for everybody that she's welcome back anytime she wants to come. No less, thank you to Jesse and Donna and Daryl and Ken, who found the digital recorder for me after I remembered 15 minutes into the service I forgot it. And thank you all for being here. I don't know about you, but last couple of days have not been that great for me. But, you know, that's okay. We all experience those times of darkness, of problems in our life, of stressors. But, you know, I think we can focus on something good today. I chose the passages that we read this morning, this long section from Genesis 1 and a little bit of chapter 2, to talk about the reoccurring theme. And, you know, you pretty much have to be blind to miss it. It's good. God says over and over and over again, it is good. He even one time says, it's very good. And that's what I wanted to talk about. Now, first of all, you should understand the way I view this passage. This is not a blueprint on how to build a universe. That's not ever what it was intended to be. The people who wrote this were smart people, okay? They knew plants did not grow without sunshine. They understood that. And yet they wrote that plants were on the third day and the sun was on the fourth day. That's not an attempt to explain to you how the universe came into being. Instead, is an attempt to explain to you what the universe is like. You see, I can believe that the planet Earth is about 4.5 billion years old, and that modern human beings are about 300,000 years old, based on latest evidence. And I can believe that Genesis 1 is true, because it's about truth, not science. And that's okay. You see, there are inherent truths taught to us in Genesis 1 that are important for our understanding of our faith and our world and honestly everything else. The first one of these is that God is a God of order, a God of place, a God of system. We live in a world that is not capricious. Things don't just happen on a whim. There are patterns. And those patterns, even when we are not capable of understanding them, and we're not, are still good, because that is the way God has made the world. If you read carefully, you'll notice that this is a poem. It is a carefully structured poem. That day one, there's light and darkness, and day four, there are the things that live in light and darkness, the sun and the moon and the stars. Day two, there's the water above and the water below. And day five, there are birds in the air and fish in the sea. Day three, there is dry land and vegetation. And on day six, animals and human beings. Everything is paired off, nice and neat. Sometimes, when we are at that low place, we are at that place where we do not understand what is going to happen next or what we're going to do about what just happened. When things are completely out of our control, where there is no influence we can exert, no favors we can call in, and hey, we don't even know what to pray. God is in control. That's how the universe works. and it's good. Another thing that we see in this passage, and honestly, there are tons. I could teach on Genesis chapter 1 for a good 8-9 weeks or more, because there's so much in it. But another thing that's here that is important for us to understand is that we're good. Not just good, but we are very good. That we are the thing that God has made that He is most proud of. Which is hard to understand sometimes. You know, I don't always think my children are that good, but they are. We are the things that are made in the image of God. And there are two aspects to that. One is we need to remember, I am in the image of God. When I feel worthless, when I feel guilty, when I feel like I can't do anything, that I am meaningless, that the world would be better off without me in it. Or at least no worse. When I feel that way about myself, or you feel that way about yourself, when you feel like you're just a cog in the machine going through the motions, God says, I made you in my image, and you are very good. You are important. You are the reflection of God. Think about that. You are the very image of God on earth. Isn't that an amazing thing to be? The other half of that is that person sitting next to you, or the person across the street, or the person across the world, whatever they may look like, they are the image of God. And there is nothing any human being can do to change that. Human beings only lose the fact that they are in the image of God at death when we change into something else. But no words of mine, no actions of mine, no belief of mine, no preference of mine changes the fact that I am in the image of God. And nothing about anybody else can change the image of God. In Sunday school today, we kind of got off track or didn't even start on the track, but that's okay. And we mentioned the fact that some of us have relatives that believe some things about other people that are frankly deplorable. And, so, you know, but that reminded me that when you say something about someone else, when you call them a derogatory name, when you use words that classifies an entire range of people as somehow worthless, what you're saying is God doesn't know what He's doing. That God was wrong to make those people. That somehow the image of God in them isn't right. And when you say that, you are wrong. You are wrong to believe that about another person. You are wrong to say that about another person. You are wrong to act like that towards another person, and you are right when you work to correct it. Whatever system, whatever word, whatever belief, and you may say, well, I'm not a racist, or I'm not a blankist, but you tolerate systems that are, you participate in them. And if the image of God is the most important thing in creation, and it is, because God said it was very good, and the whole point of the flood was that people were violating the image of God, and we know that because the first order God gives after the flood is, you will not take the image of God. And if you do, you will be taken. I think that's Genesis chapter 9. God says that to Moses. Not Moses, Noah. God says that to Noah. That's the very first order in the new creation is, you know how they were being violent in chapter 6? You got to stop that. Because my image in people is the most important thing in existence. And we've got to respect that. And if we're going to do that, part of it is realizing the image of God in ourselves, and then seeing it in other people. And the last one I want to talk about, at least, for some of you, is going to be the hardest thing you have to hear. It's going to be the hardest thing you are going to have to do. And that is rest. The last thing in this story, in the account of the heavens and the earth that was so important that it had to be the very first thing in Scripture, is stop. Be still, be silent, and rest. That's the whole point of having a Sabbath rest. That's what Sabbath means. You should be peace. Still, quiet, not trying to run around and fix everything, or do everything, or be everything, because guess what? God already did it all. That's what the first 6 days were about. Seventh day is you stopping. For some of us, that's hard. Some of the times it's hard because we feel this guilt or this pressure to do something. Some of us are haunted by the ghosts of our fathers when we look at the grass and it's not cut. Some of us are the kind of people who feel like, oh, we've got to make sure that people have enough food to eat if they come visit, or we've got to make sure that they're happy, or just stop and be still. An acknowledgement of the Sabbath is not really anything to do with, you know, old-fashioned blue laws about, oh, you can't work on Sunday, which Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that's when we honor it. And the Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday sunset. But it's not about that really at all. It's acknowledging that because we are good, right? Because we are made in the image of God must be protected, and we need to rest. That we are not owners of our image, we are the image of God, and we therefore do not have the right to burn it up in activity. That the people around us are made in the image of God, and we do not have the right to use them up in activity, and that the world God made is good, and we do not have the right to use it up. Everything in the Old Testament, and pretty much everything in the New Testament too, really relies on our understanding of the passages we read today. It all flows out of it. It all flows out of understanding that God is good, that God is in control, that God is the creator, that God is orderly, and God is watching over us. The word that begins the hovering over the face of the earth is the same language that is used of a mother bending over her child. That's how God loves us. We got to remember that we're worth something. That people are worth something. That we were not made by God to feed him, which is the story in Babylonian creation myth that these people would have been familiar with. That we're not made to be servants. We are not made to be an army or slaves or anything else. We are made to be God's image. And that's important. And that other people are made in God's image, and that is important. And if all of that stuff is valuable, it deserves a break. I really think that some of you need to go out of here and be reminded that you're in God's image. Some of you need to go out of here and remember that other people are in God's image. Some of you need to go out of here and remember that God is in control. And some of us need to remember to just stop. To stop and rest. And to remember what God said about all of it, that it's good.